Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoSailorCast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com, a technology geek show with an ever-so-slight Macintosh bias. Today is Sunday, September 4th, 2005, and this is show number 20. Wow, that's a big milestone. Maybe we should have a big party, celebrate, have gifts, have prizes? No, I guess not. I guess we'll wait for show number 100 for that kind of tomfoolery. I sure hope you're not getting tired of me, my excitement over all the new countries that join our listening audience every week, because I never tire of this topic. We added Puerto Rico this week, so I'd like to give a shout out to Javier, not sure how to pronounce it, who wrote to me from there. I was really excited to see Puerto Rico join our podcasting listing audience. With any luck, I'm going to do an interview for him, which I'm really looking forward to. I'm so obsessed with this topic of all these countries that I'm going to post the month-end statistics where you can see all of the countries that listened this month and how much traffic they generated. I think it's fun to look at. Perhaps you do too. The countries that aren't in the megabytes of bandwidth must be at least just be reading on the website, not actually downloading the material. But that's cool too, right? If they just want to read, that's awesome. So check out the statistics. I've got a link in the show notes. Today's show will feature two hardware reviews, the Minolta Z3 digital camera and the Seagate 4GB pocket drive. Last week when I talked about my play camera, I also referred to my grown-up camera, the Minolta Dimage Z3. As always, I like to start with what problem I was trying to solve. While the XLM fits my requirements for easy to throw in the purse, takes nice pictures at parties, the Minolta fits a much different requirement. See, my kids play soccer, and it's really, really fast action, and the field is huge. So in order to cover the fast action, I need a really fast shutter speed, and I need a long zoom to be able to capture them when they're that far away. Everybody I know takes pictures with these little 3x optical zoom cameras, and then they go home and they're really sad because they can't see their kids. They're like going, I don't know, was that Bobby? So I could have bought an SLR, which would have definitely met these requirements, and I may do that eventually, but I really didn't want to lug around a camera that big, and I didn't want to goof around with lenses. So the Z3 has a 12x optical zoom at 4 megapixels. Now, I'm not faking this and combining digital and optical and coming up with 12x. I hope you guys all know that digital zoom is just fake. Don't do it. Don't use it. Don't even read the spec. This is all optical, 12x optical zoom. So this lets me take pictures with close-ups of kids on the other side of the field that are absolutely amazing. Now, Leo says you can't hold a 12x zoom camera still without a tripod, but I do it just by propping my elbows up on my knees in my little lawn chair. Because of the 4 megapixels combined with the zoom, I can crop in really tight and take great shots. Okay, maybe not 8x10s once I've cropped in a bit, but darn good 4x6s. You can ask anybody on our soccer team whether I take good pictures. Everybody clamors for me to take photos of their kids. If you don't believe me, check in the show notes for a shot of my son more than half a soccer field length away from me. Got a nice shot of him this weekend taking a goal kick. In addition to the great zoom, it does meet my requirements for a fast shutter from the time I push the button till it actually takes the shot. This is a notorious problem with digital cameras. They tend to be slow. They're getting a lot better these days than they used to. Man, the early ones were just a nightmare. And the only truly instantaneous ones are the SLRs. But the Z3 is really, really good. I can now catch the ball in the air 80% of the time, so I can actually catch it as they kick it, while with my previous camera I hardly ever captured the ball. The body of the Z3 has a really nice form factor for my hand. It's not slim by any means, and it looks more like a miniature SLR. The hand grip is on the right-hand side, so if you're left-handed, I suppose you would hate it, but I think all cameras are right-handed. Anyway, this uses 4 AA batteries, not a lithium-ion battery, and so the grip is actually the battery case, so it's sort of like you're gripping a pack of 4 AA batteries, and it just feels really good to me. I can hold it with one hand because it's light enough, and it just really feels good. It ran around $400 in mid-2004 when I bought it, but there's even better models in the Z line to choose from, so check them out. You can check it out on my website to see a picture of it on my favorite gadgets website over on the right hand side, on the right hand link. So I'm really excited about a new pocket drive I found. It's made by Seagate, and it's actually a 4200 RPM drive. So it's not flash memory, which would be really expensive at 4GB. It's actually a spinning drive. It fits in the palm of your hand, and it's shaped like a rounded hockey puck, and it's extremely light. There's no visible signs of a USB cable at first until you rotate the casing around and it reveals the cable where you can pull it out like about 3 inches. So this makes it real easy to attach to USB port. And, of course, it lights up blue when you transfer data, which, you know, is critical. You got to have the blue light, right? And the coolest thing about this, 4 gigabytes, it's only $85. This thing is amazing. It's so light you don't even know you're carrying it. Throw it in a pocket, throw it in a purse, whatever you got. So I've provided links on the website to Seagate's website so you can see what they all the specs and all that stuff, and a link to buy it at Amazon for $85. You know, I got to get in on that Amazon deal where you get kickbacks if people click the links. That's what I really need. So let's see. Oh, I wanted to insert a little podcast catching tip here. If you're new to podcasting, since iTunes added podcasting, you could probably just ignore this tip. But I noticed I was running out of disk space, so I went on a witch hunt to delete podcasts I'd already listened to. Realized podcasts are big. I mean, the files are huge compared to like one song versus one podcast. It's an awful lot bigger because they're so long. But anyway, so I started hunting around. First, I went in iTunes and I deleted all the podcasts from there that I'd already listened to. But for some reason, I got an idea to take a look at my iTunes directory on my disk. So inside the iTunes directory, there's a section for genres, and one of them's podcast, and that's where all of the podcasts are that are inside iTunes. But I used to use iPodder X and iPodder Lemon, also known now as the Juice Receiver. So I used to use these other podcatching clients that would move the music into my iTunes library. Well, I forgot that it used to do that, and those podcasts were all sitting outside of the podcast directory, just floating around out in regular iTunes, you know, right out in the library. So I was able to go in and dump a whole bunch of stuff there, and now I have a bunch of free disk space. Just in case you switch clients, keep an eye on that. This next site came from my niece, Sarah, who was able to show me something pretty cool. I'm not a huge music fan, so I'm actually, you'll notice there's not been, I think I've played one song so far. And but she showed me a cool site that just from its technology is neat, and if you like music, it'll be double neat. The idea is that the Music Genome Project from Pandora, they've gone through and they've characterized music, characterized musicians, and characterized individual songs, kind of like, you know, mapping the human genome, I guess is the idea. And then what they allow you to do is create your own music station. So you go into this website, and the first thing it asks you is, give me somebody you like, right? So, hey, I'm an old fart, so I typed in Cat Stevens. So once you type in that musician, they come up with a song from that artist. And then you tell them, do you like that song or not? If you say yes, then they go out and look for more songs that are kind of similar to it by other artists. And what I really like is if you see a song and you don't like it, it says, sorry about that, we'll try something else and we won't ever play that song on this station again. And that's kind of really the tip there, is that you're going to be able to make up a station of music that you want to hear and never music that you don't want to hear. So you can also go in and add other musicians, so you start characterizing it, and it lets you play around with it for a while before it asks you to make an account, but the account's still free anyway, so it's worth a look at. It's pretty fun. You can't download any of these songs, but it's a cool idea anyway to be able to hit a website that plays your music. I did notice that it's cached and all that, because when I went back to the website, it immediately started playing a song I liked, so that was kind of cool. So check out the Pandora Music Genome Project. So, you got all these emails of doom from friends and relatives, things that say, like, did you know that your home address is on the internet? Or, you know, if you put gas in your car with your left hand, your car will blow up, and, you know, all these crazy things you get. So, you can pretty much pick up the really stupid ones yourself, but how many times have you seen somebody, you know, send it out to every single person you know with, you know, some ridiculous thing in there? Well, the website I like to check and make sure that they don't, you can really check and prove to somebody that it's a spoof, is a place called Snopes.com. So check out Snopes. What you do is you type in, look for keywords that are interesting in the article. Like if you just put the name of the email, you might not be able to find it. But hunt around for some specific words that really make it stand out and throw them in there. And what they'll do is they'll give you an explanation of how long has this particular hoax been around, if it's a hoax, or, you know, was there at one time truth to it? Because some of these, they were, you know, were true at one time. You know, poor little Jimmy is dying of cancer. Well, maybe he was sick, but it turns out he's been fine for 12 years and no, he has enough postcards. So it's kind of neat to go in and check that out. One of my favorites going around was the one about that said that the moon was going to be as close as Mars, or it was, yeah, it was going to look as big as Mars to the naked eye. And I had all these people telling me, yeah, yeah, it's true. But what actually, there were two different things wrong with it. The first one was that when it got posted on the internet, there was an unfortunate line break. And the rest of the sentence was that Mars would look as big as the moon with the naked eye, but the Mars was supposed to be through a telescope of a certain power. So it wasn't really supposed to say what they were saying. The other thing was the entire event didn't even happen this year. It happened like in 2001 was when it was as close as it had been in 80 billion years or something like that. So anyway, I really recommend checking out Snopes. Not only is it fun to or nice to, you know, save the world some bandwidth by not forwarding it, but it's also kind of fun to send back to the person and say, hey, goofball, that's not true. So we all know how to use Google as a to do searching and makes excellent maps, but it has a whole bunch of other cool features I want to tell you about. I've got a whole list of them here. You ever sitting there wondering some unit conversion? You're trying to figure out how many dollars and lira or gallons and liters or whatever it is. Just simply type it into the Google window. So type 10 gallons in liters, and it'll come back and it'll say 38 liters. Actually, it says 37.5761, and it goes on and on. Gives you a whole bunch of decimal points. But it's a really quick, easy way to throw in a unit conversion. The calculator is a real easy one. Just type in 3 times 7, and it'll turn around and say 3 times 7 equals 21. At least I think that's 21. I'm not good at math. But anyway, that's kind of a fun little thing. One I've been playing with recently is to define words. If you type define colon space and then the word you're looking for, it'll return definitions from a bunch of different sites. And the sites you typed in change where, or I'm sorry, the word you typed in changes where it looks the word up. Like I noticed Wikipedia is real strong in there. That's frequently got Wikipedia. But depending on what I typed in, there might be 20 different places that looked for it, a definition, or it might only be one or two. So that's kind of interesting. I'm not sure what the algorithm is there, but it's a nice place to just throw in a quick definition. Don't have to go over and type in dictionary.com. Just type it right into Google. Movies, there's some interesting things. If you just want to know the show times, just type in a movie name, and the first hit will be images for the movie, and the second hit will be for show information and locations and times near you. Again, this must be caching our addresses from driving directions or something like that, because it knew what city I lived in, and it immediately returned the closest theater to my house with the show times and some information about the show, how long it is, and that kind of stuff. Really, really easy, knowing it's just all there. I'm starting to think Google's got some kind of one-stop shopping deal going here. You can also search for movies when you don't even remember the name of the movie. If you type in movie colon space and then something you remember about the movie, it'll actually return the answer. So that's kind of cool. I think the example they give on their website is Blue Pill, Red Pill. Type in movie colon space Blue Pill, Red Pill, and it'll come back and say The Matrix. So that was a crazy one. Probably one of the most functional ones, but maybe you don't have to use it all the time, that I've really enjoyed is tracking shipments. If you just type in a UPS or a FedEx or U.S. Postal Service tracking number, not even telling Google what kind of tracking number it is, not telling it it is a tracking number and not telling it it's FedEx, just type that number in and it comes back with one link at the top with the number, and you click that and it takes you directly into the appropriate site for tracking and with your tracking number already pre-populated. Really, really handy, because I mean, it seems like it's about 25 different link buttons you have to punch to get into the FedEx tracking numbers. But if you start with Google, it's just literally one click. So that's really, really fun. So if you think Google is fun in general, you'll enjoy the site that my friend Bruce showed me. If you go to logoggle.com, that's logoggle.com, and type in any name you like, it creates a functioning Google site with your name instead of the Google letters, and they're styled just like the Google letters. It's completely useless, but it's really fun. Okay, that's enough Google for now. So, do you ever find you have a problem where you want to send a link to someone, like for a great gift you want them to buy you, but when you paste it into email, it's so long that the text does a word wrap, and you know they're going to get a broken link when they try it, and then you know they're not going to buy it for you for your birthday? What are you supposed to do? Well, check out tinyurl.com. There's a lot of sites like this, but this is one that I like. And what it allows you to do is paste in the gigantic URL, and it returns a tiny one. And then you take that tiny one and copy it and paste it into your email. For example, I just put in the link to Steve's Digicam photo of the day for December 1st, which is normally really long. It's steves-digicam.com/dpotd/december2005/ and then the date.jpg. Nice and long. But when I put that into tinyurl, it came back tinyurl.com/8vs2g. Just very, very short. So anyway, it's a cool way to get the link, and that way you'll actually get that present you were hoping for. While I'm at it, I guess I should tell you about Steve's Digicam Photo of the Day website. It's really, really good. I just go there once a day to go out and check out what the greatest photo they've got there. Frequently some absolutely awesome scenery shots. I mean, people have taken some amazing photos through raindrops in cobwebs, and I mean, just really cool. There's a lot of sports ones. I'm not real wild about those, but if you like motocross, that seems to be a very popular one. A lot of good pictures of little kids, just puppies. It's just, it's really fun. I like it. So from puppies to motocross, something for everyone. Well, it's time for our weird and wacky section. This time it's not a weird and wacky website, but a weird and wacky application. If you're a geek and like the periodic table of the elements, you will love Smellements. As the developer describes it, Smellements is a periodic table of the elements for the Macintosh. It's not as full-featured as a lot of other periodic tables out there, but it's free and looks very nice, especially if you put it next to the coffee table by the ferns. Click on an element symbol to get a little more information on the item, like atomic weight, radioactive properties, and atomic number. You can use the pop-up menu to switch between the basic table and the table of solids, liquids, and gases, and more. I like it because the colors are cool, the noises are fun. Oh, make sure you turn on the noises. The noises really make it. And of course, it's free. Unfortunately, I can't give the developer's website a plug because it's not functioning. I'll write to him and ask him what's up and update the link in here if he sends it to me. But I did put a link in the show notes for how you can find it on versiontracker.com. It's smell-o-mints. All right, the next section is Web TV and why it's so cool. My buddy Harry has Web TV, which is now actually MSN TV. The idea is you hook this little box up to your TV and then surf the internet right there on the TV. I'm sure you all think I'm nuts for saying this is cool, but it really, really is. I know that the resolution on the screen is bad, it's not as cool as having a computer, you know, where you can load software and all this crazy things, but you gotta hear my story to know why I think it's so cool. So Harry is a big old surfing maniac. Harry's about 85 years old, and he is hilarious in email. He's just so much fun. So Harry emails me like crazy and has a great time, but one day he says to me, "Allison, I need to print some stuff off. They're telling me I'm out of disk space on the server, so I need to delete some emails." I realize Web TV didn't have anything inside it like a hard disk, so he's got to deal with these emails. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how on earth is he going to print from this darn thing? I don't know how that's going to work. He's had this thing forever. So I took a look at the back and the documentation, and it turns out it's got a parallel port on it, and they claim you can print from it. So now I go for a big search online to try and find what printers work on it. I put in his model number, and I search for days, but finally I found a list of printers that was cached from 100 years ago, found a list of the printers that worked on it, and I found out that all four of my HP printers that I had in my house at the time worked on it. And I'm always looking to get rid of a printer so I have an excuse to buy a new one, so this looked like an opportunity to me. So I went over to CompUSA and bought a parallel cable, and I drove over to Harry's. I explained that this was either going to work or not work, but there'd be no way I could make it work if it didn't just go, because there's no way to load drivers or anything like that, because, you know, it doesn't have a hard disk, so what are you going to do? So I plugged in the printer, turned on the Web TV, hit the button on it that said print, and it printed. I am not kidding you. Just like that. When was the last time you plugged anything into your computer, Mac or PC, I don't care, and it just worked? I'm serious. This was a digital miracle. So anyway, I'm in love with this thing. I think this is the coolest thing ever. This is what computers should really be like, don't you think? They have MSN TV for broadband now. It's around $200 to buy one. It's called MSN TV 2, I think. But there's a $100 rebate on right now through the end of January. The dial-up service is pretty expensive. It's $21.95 a month or $9.95 a month if you bring your own ISP. But actually, the broadband service is only $9.95 a month if you have your own ISP. So adding it to something you already had, not that bad. You can also pay up front for $99.95 a year for the if you bring your own ISP. I really recommend this for your non-computer literate friends. I'm thinking my brother would be happy with this. He hates computers. Well, he says that's not true. He says they hate him, and it's not his fault. But anyway, check it out at webtv.com. You can now watch movies and see pictures and do music on it. It's really turned into a little media center kind of thing. For that price, it's not that bad. Well, that wraps it up for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the Nocilla Cast. As always, feedback is welcome at allison@podfeet.com. I've heard from a few folks they've had trouble emailing me, getting bounce backs, and I've been working with VisiWeb to get that fixed, and they think they might have figured out what it was. But if that ever happens to you, if you try to email me and it bounces back, please don't give up. Go to the website and use the comment section on the website to tell me it's messed up. That would be really terrific if you could, and then maybe we can track this down, because I hate it when people can't write to me. It's much more fun to hear from all of you. Well, that's it for the Nocilla Cast, and thanks for staying subscribed.